Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Studio Line 90.5 Business Insights with Marion and Matt. And last guest for today's show. First of all, I want to say thank you to Clary Holden from the Father's Rights Australia. I'd like to say Major Andrew Andy Bradshaw, who was sharing with us 43 years of experience and what the PTSD is and how he can help. And my young apprentice under the supervision of our mentor, both of us mentor, Darren Capes Davis. He's going to lead us into our third guest, who is going to make this weekend awesome for all of you. All of you who failing every single day, you're getting, guys, the best from the Taiwan. Daniel Tolson. Welcome, Daniel.
Mario, Matt, and Darren, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Did you forget what time is in Australia? I mean, like, you're only two years away from Australia. Daniel, thank you for coming today with us in studio, and thank you for being always helpful to our listeners. So, Daniel, I'd like to ask you, we're seeing that this COVID, and we always talk about COVID changing people, but one common thing we're all sharing, failing in our goals. Why do people fail in life, reaching the goals?
Well, I think the first thing, Mario, is no goals, no future. If you have no goals, it means you have no future. If you have no future, there's nothing to live for. And if there's nothing to live for, then all we do is sit there and eat Nutella. We don't get off the couch.
Did you know what you call that right now? The Darren is looking at me and the Matt, and like stop eating Nutella, people. But yes, truth it is, I know that from my experience, and I can write a the book and instructions how to blame everybody for the failures and yet simultaneously enjoying the Nutella. So please continue, Daniel.
Well, in my opinion, there's seven reasons why people fail to set goals. And the first one is they're just not serious. And so people love to dream, they love to pray, they love to wish. But setting a goal means you've got to get out of your comfort zone. The second thing is that people haven't accepted responsibility for their life yet. And so we still see people who are acting like children at 30, 40 and 50 and 60 years of age. And they don't have goals because they're waiting for somebody else to set it for them. So they're still behaving like a child and they're waiting for a parental person to come along mm-hmm. and to solve their life's problems.
Yeah.
The third one is deep-seated feelings of guilt. A lot of people actually don't feel worthy of success. They feel worthy of Nutella Mario, but they don't feel worthy of things beyond that. And so they say to themselves, I don't feel worthy of success. I don't feel worthy of the money that I can make. I don't feel worthy of the additional time I can have off. And so they don't set their goals. So I think another big... Please.
No, sorry. So limiting beliefs, it sounds like, was quite a big, like, I suppose, limiting factor in people setting goals or even, well, hell, if they set them, achieve their goals.
100%. The doubts creep in.
Okay. I need to interrupt you here. Like, enough of this. Like, so tell me, I'm very curious because... Daniel helped me tremendously on my business level, on my professional level, my personal level. And I don't hide that he's my coach and somebody who is mentoring me on the aspects of my business and my personal development. But Daniel, why the heck I was enjoying so much Nutella? And enjoying... No, seriously. Why was I
over-indulging? Instant gratification.
And blaming everybody else and simultaneously I was stuffing my mouth with the food, which, make me look very beautiful and round in the middle. Please.
They say only a real man can handle the curves.
No, but honestly, like, why?
But, well, it's instant gratification. And see, as soon as you put the Nutella in your mouth, you get a natural high.
Yes.
And so what happens is when you achieve your goals, you actually get three neurotransmitters. You get three very important chemicals released in your body. So when you set a goal, you get dopamine. And this gives you that thrill of the chase. And so for your thrill was getting off the couch, going to the cupboard and getting Nutella. That was your excitement.
Not even, walking in the cabinet. I was always having ready. That's a saddest part, Daniel. I always have in my pocket something sweet to eat. Matt, you want to ask a question, Daniel?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, because it sounds like so those are the benefits of achieving the goals. But how about the step before that, which is actually setting the goals? What are going to be the benefits there of actually setting goals for yourself?
Well, the same thing is when you set a goal, you get drugs. And I wrote a book called Free Drugs, and it's all about setting goals. So when you set a goal, you get a neurotransmitter released in the body, and it's called dopamine. And this gets you excited for the chase. And so you know that when you set a goal, you get excited immediately. So that's the first benefit. The second one is as soon as you start to move towards your goal, you get a hit of adrenaline. And adrenaline kills pain. And so when you're David facing Goliath, you know that there's a big enemy, a big obstacle that you've got to overcome. But you get this adrenaline rush. It's like the Spartans versus the Persians. It's like the Australian versus the West Indies in cricket. You get this adrenaline rush. And at that stage, you don't tend to care if you succeed or fail because you get that adrenaline hit. And then the third thing is when you achieve the goal, you get a rush of serotonin. You get the endorphin rush, and this is nature's happy drug. And so what Mario was doing by substituting with Nutella, you can actually get by setting goals. However, the goals actually takes resistance where there's no resistance to the Nutella. So people, because of the path of least resistance, they'll do what is easy rather than doing what is hard and necessary.
So I was successful in building myself nice and round with 30 kilos extra, which I'm still, you know, on a path to lose. But there must be some principles of success, Daniel. What do you think, Matt? You think there's a principle of success?
Well, there must be. If there's people that repeatedly make these, I suppose, big strides and big achievements in their life, they must be following some structure or some principles they have for themselves. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on that, Daniel?
Well, there's a rule in success that says if you just do what successful people do, you're going to get the same result. And so success can be broken down into five key areas. And the first thing that successful people do is they ask themselves the question, what do I want? So they get very clear on their outcomes. And what we know is that people who set goals end up earning 10 times more than the average person in the population. But only 3% of people are clear on their outcomes. The second principle is taking action. So successful people, once they know what they want, they take one step towards it every single day. So if you make a 1% improvement every day for the next 100 days, you're going to be 100% better than you are today. The third thing is that they know that we're going to be off track 99% of the time. And so what they have is they have sensory acuity, and they constantly move from off the path and they get back onto the path. See, a lot of people who don't have goals, they're 1 degree off course every day. And by the end of the year, they do a full circle and they come back around to exactly where they started. The fourth thing successful people do is they have behavioural flexibility. We are creatures of comfort. We develop patterns of habit, and Mario talks about this in his field. And so what successful people do is they're prepared to do what is hard, where unsuccessful people, they tend to follow the path of least resistance. And then the fifth thing that they do, they operate from a psychology of success. And so what we say is if you can hold it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. So they're the five principles of success.
Daniel, that's key for everyone. Yeah, that's a key. But look, I say, you know, just listening to you, I feel comfortable that success can be acquired and achieved. But we'll come back after the break. What do you think, Matt?
I think it's fair for a break. Short break.
And you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and the Matt, and our guests from the Taiwan directly, thanks to the clean feed and technology, are now producer mentor Darren Capes Davis. Daniel Tolson is with us, and we'll take a short break, and after the break we're going to ask him more questions. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and the Matt.
Live 90.5.
information, but there's no proof. In the paper today, tales of war and the waste, but you turn right over to the TV page.
For 25 years, ATP Accounting and Taxation Professionals has been doing business accountancy, tax agency and advisory. Based in Norwest Business Park, Farid Zeki, founder of ATP, is passionate about helping clients grow their business, achieve greater profits, enjoy wealth, minimise tax, maintain cash flow and protect assets. If you are a business or individual who plans to succeed in wealth management and greater financial freedom, please call Farid on 8850-3888 or email farid@atpaccounting.com.au. He is always open for business connections and opportunities. atpaccounting.com.au, your friendly accounting and taxation professionals. Station sponsor.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1800 009 292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1800 009 292.
Station sponsor.
Alive 90.5, all the way from the 70s, 80s, 90s and today.
You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario, Matt and our mentor producer Darren in the studio with us. We'd like to take you further with our guest directly from Taiwan, Daniel Tolson, who is talking and sharing with us his knowledge of success and the failures. And earlier, Matt, he make a fun of me, mocking me in front of the 2 million listeners. Why did I enjoy the Nutella for 3 years? And truth it is, I did. But truth it is, I didn't want to admit why I'm doing this. But truth it is that admitting that I blame everybody for my 30 kilos extra. So we learned that there's a 5 steps in success. So Daniel, do you mind to share with our listeners, is there any goal setting process for success?
There really is.
Or how do we start setting goals?
Well, the first thing you want to do is you've got to start with desire. And so there's a million different things that we can do, probably a billion different things we can do on this earth, but we've got to decide on one thing. And this is challenging for people because they don't want to be locked into one thing or they don't want to be backed into a corner. But you've got to be able to choose one thing. And the reason why we have to choose one thing is because our mind can only hold one thought in it at a time. You can have a stream of consciousness, which is a series of thoughts one after the other, but you can actually only hold one thought in your mind at a time.
Interesting.
So you've got to ask yourself, what is it that I want and how bad do I want it? So it starts with desire.
I was curious just to unpack that a little bit further. How do we know what that one thing is or one thing that should be for ourselves?
Very good question. Normally, Matt, what happens is at a young age, we have big dreams and big ambitions. And I remember I was a paper boy. I was age 9 and I'd make the papers at my uncle's news agency, which was just based there in Richmond. And at the end of my shift, I would walk outside and the Salvation Army was there. And I'd give half of my income, which was 50 cents, to the Salvation Army. And my mum stopped me one day and she said, "Daniel, why do you give away half of your income?" And I said, "Mum, I just like to help people." And so at age 9, I used to have this picture in my mind of helping people. I thought I wanted to be a doctor, but I couldn't see myself giving people the COVID-19 injection in 2021. But I could see myself helping people achieve their life goals. So we have these little flags throughout our lifetime. And we think about this. We donate money. We give our time away because it makes us feel good. And so this is where we have to be sensory aware. Normally the things that make us excited, Matt, we're going to get up early for. We're willing to get out of bed at 4 a.m. We're willing to stay up till midnight. That's how you know you have a burning desire.
So what's the next one? Yeah.
You then have to make a decision. And so we ask, you ask any woman, can you be 99% pregnant? You can't be 99% anything. It's either you're pregnant or you're not. So once we decide what we want, we have to make a decision. This is what I want. And then we've got to get off the fence. The third thing is you've got to have discipline. And this is where it gets really hard. Les Brown, he's an American motivational speaker. And he says, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, then life will be easy. It's hard to focus on one thing for an extended period of time. But if you can, eventually you internalize this success principle and then your goals start to show up. But most people give up. And that's where we need the fourth one, which is determination. Now, there's an old Japanese proverb that says, fall down 8 times, get back up 9 times. But the story of the human race is giving up before the very first attempt. So in summary, we start with desire. We then make a decision. This is what I want. And I refuse to have anything else. We then got to have the discipline to do what is hard and then the determination. We must finish what we start. And this is called a compulsion to close.
Interesting. Such value there. Wow. What is a simple goal-setting formula that we can use?
Matt, probably the easiest one and the most effective one, it's called SMART Goal Formula. And so the acronym is SMART. Your goals need to be very simple and specific. So your conscious mind is your goal setter, but your unconscious mind is the goal getter. And it has to be simple because your unconscious mind understands language like your little 7-year-old brother or sister. So we've got to set simple goals, things that are very easy to understand, like to increase my income by $100,000. Very simple. Anybody can understand that. Goals need to be measurable. So you've got to remember the rule. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So goals have to be simple and specific. They have to also be measurable. In addition to measurable, they've got to be meaningful to you. And that gets back to desire. If you're setting a goal to make mum and dad happy, if you're setting a goal to make your boss happy, you won't be happy for yourself because it doesn't mean anything to you. The A means achievable. And so what happens is most people set too big a goals too soon. They try to run before they can walk. So the goals that you set have to be achievable. The R stands for realistic. They have to be realistic for you. And I say to people, you can't become a millionaire unless you've become a thousandaire. And most people set a goal to make $1 million.
This is a good one, actually. That's actually a good one. How you can become a millionaire if you're not thousand?
A thousandaire.
Thousand?
A thousandaire.
A thousandaire.
Okay. That's very interesting. That's a good one, actually. That's a good one.
Still that.
Yeah, but Daniel, can I skip, you know, as insert myself into this one. We spoke to you a few times now, Darren, myself, now and Matt, including in studio. But what makes you keep going to this situation? I read other day in one of the magazines here in Australia that 88% of the people globally become the overweight during the COVID. Now, 88% of people become overweight. It's a sizable number. Now, secondly, pre-COVID, we have a lot of business coaches, gurus and everything else, which, you know, they disappeared during the COVID, they started hard and everything else. But then you are here with us for past 14 months, and I can vouch for this because I know that we started with you, Darren, and I in the studio while we have nobody around us except the trees. What makes you keep going? What's your goal? And why doing this to help people?
Mario, it's a great question, and it comes down to discipline. My father was a farmer, and he would get up early and he'd only come home when the job was done. And so what I learned was one of the greatest success principles is just having the discipline to do what nobody else will do. A lot of self-made millionaires are not any smarter than you. They probably dropped out of school before you, but they're just prepared to do what unsuccessful people are not prepared to do. If we went back to your weight analogy, I want you to think of it differently. Yes, people put on weight, but I want you to think of it, they successfully increased their weight. They successfully got...
Come on. Don't make me feel comfortable, Daniel, please. I'm not happy. You know? I mean, I'm not happy. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something as well. I started losing weight after talking to Daniel, not because he gave me the magic formula or magic wand, but he told me a couple of words... I'm applying, but please continue.
So, Mario, if we think about it differently, if we think about weight increase, if we think about obesity, they're successfully putting on weight. That is a good strategy if you want to put on weight, but it's not a good strategy if you want to lose weight. But the principles apply. See, these people are disciplined to eat the bad food.
Yes.
They're disciplined to sit on the couch.
It's a key word there, discipline. Yeah. So
it's a form of discipline. See, think about that. You've got to remember every day to eat bad food. You've got to remember every day not to go to the gym. But if they use that intelligence to help them, not to hurt them, these people could be self-made thousandaires and then self-made millionaires shortly after.
Hey, Daniel, I think...
It's discipline.
Yeah. I think the man's dying to ask you some questions.
Absolutely, yeah. So I was about to ask.
Well, thank you, mate. You have your chance. So like this,
just on discipline. Discipline. It's a key thing that I've worked on in my life, and I'm curious, where does that stem from, and how can people build up their discipline? You've mentioned it quite a number of times.
You had Major Andy on before, and one of the things I learned is that a lot of people think people in the military are disciplined. No, people in the military are not disciplined. They go there because they have a sergeant major. And what the sergeant major does is hold you accountable for everything that you are supposed to do. And if you don't do it, he hurts you. He makes you do extra push-ups. He makes you get out of bed early. He throws water on you. And so what happens with discipline is a muscle. And discipline is not learned at a young age. See, what happens is children go to school, and they come home, and instead of doing their homework straight away, they put it off, and they do everything that is fun and easy first of all. And so what happens is they install a failure habit at a very young age. And then once they get into the business world, they've got to try to break that failure habit. So discipline is about doing what is hard and being okay with the discomfort. And it's like Mario at the moment. Yes, he's losing 30 kilos. He doesn't like to get up early. He doesn't like to be sweaty. He doesn't always feel good going to the gym.
You know what? Daniel, seriously, when you come in Australia, I can guarantee you with the darling's life, I'm just gonna hug you, like, you know, like we're gonna be like a Teletubby, say, because you're truly inspiring. You know, like, look, for the listeners who they don't know the story and the love relation between me and Daniel, I met Daniel, it will be like 2.5 years ago, I'll say. And, you know, Daniel was just arriving for the coffee in a building here in the business park. And I was sitting there with my friend, co-presenter Mia, from this radio station. Anyway, Daniel appears. I fall in love with the man. Impeccable suit, talking. But most importantly, he presented what he was talking. He was, you know, doing what he was preaching, which I didn't know. And then eventually, he doesn't say, I can help you. But you see, this is a success, Matt. When you see somebody, you want to become that one person. And I always said to Daniel, I think the second day I said to him, I want to be you. I just want to be you, and I just want to copy everything. I never lied, you know, I mean, that's the truth, Matt. I always said to Daniel, whatever you did, I copied this, this, and this, and this, and this. And Daniel never says, okay, this is demos for $50,000 or something, this, but will say, what else you want to improve? See, this is the part in my life, you know, I finally met the people in a stage later in my life who can improve me. But what do you think, Matt, about Daniel? Why he's doing these things?
Well, I can see he has a genuine intent.
Yes.
He seems, he mentioned earlier on, he sees himself helping people, mm-hmm. adding value to their lives. And I've had one conversation with Daniel, been very blessed to, before this interview. And I got to say, I very much got that from him. He added a lot of value to me, shared a lot of wisdom with me, and he's very, like you said, he's very much a living representation of what he preaches, and he is creating a massive impact in the meantime. I'm curious, Daniel, if you had to put it to a sentence or two, how would you word your mission?
I could give it to you in one word. Would that be okay?
Please.
Contribution.
Wow.
Can you elaborate a little bit more? Can you extend this? Expand?
Absolutely.
Please.
One of the things that we have to do, and it comes back to emotional intelligence, when we meet somebody, we have to leave them feeling better than when we met them. And so it's a contribution to their life. And I want to help other people by contributing success habits, showing them what they could do more of, showing them what they could do less of to achieve their goals faster, showing them what other successful people have stopped doing and what they've started to do to achieve their goals faster. And the word contribution is so important, because every time you make a contribution to somebody's life, you actually feel better about yourself. And this activates a mental law called the law of reciprocity. And what happens is, when you do good things for other people, automatically good things happen to you. And so I know the more that I give in my life, the more that I get back. And there's a backstory there, Matt. See, when I grew up, I went to school and I had a twisted spine, and my hips were out of alignment and my knees were out of alignment. And I was that kid in class who would run along and fall over because his legs would collapse. But I couldn't see. And so I couldn't see properly. My cranium was pushing down on my brain. I couldn't hear properly. So I couldn't see, and I was tone deaf. And so in the early years of my life, it was all struggle. But I had some very nice people for the first 15 years of my life to put me through remedial therapy. And I only got out of the remedial therapy because of other people's assistance. At age 15, I then developed Epstein-Barr virus and chronic fatigue. And I basically just slept for 1 or 2 years. And then for 2 years after that, I was in and out of rehabilitation with 2 major knee reconstructions. And so for the first 19 years of my life, people just helped me. And they did it because they enjoyed helping others. And so once I got through that, I wanted to return the favor. And so now I'm returning with a different gift, which is the gift of helping people to become more successful. And so I started receiving a lot of help, and now it's time to pay back.
Daniel, this is extremely, extremely valuable. Daniel, it's time for us to wrap it up this show. Thank you for joining us from the Taiwan directly, thanks to Clean Feed and technical advice from the Darren Caps Davis, who is, you know, he's always a magician when it comes to technology. But I'd like to say thank you for being our guest, Daniel. We're hoping to have you soon. To all listeners, please, Daniel Tolson, you know, listen today website alive905.com.au, this podcast, and contact Daniel directly. However, before I go, just one more minute, 10 seconds, I'd like to say thank you to Matt for joining us on the Business Insights on Alive 90.5. Thank you, Darren Capes Davis, the Deputy Chair of Alive 90.5, for the being our producer and a mentor, and most importantly, like to share something else. Darren and I will shortly announce a date to smash the Guinness World Record in continuous broadcasting 68 hours plus. So stay tuned with us. We're going to give you details. You can join us in the studio. You can sponsor this radio station. You're listening to Business Insights with Matt and Mari and Darren. Speak to you next Friday.
What a blessing this has been. Thank you very much. Appreciate you, Mario.
Alive 90.5.